Hey everyone, I'm Mark DeGrasse with the In the Garage podcast by CarParts.com. I'm here with Richard Jang, and today we're talking Fast and Furious, along with a bunch of vehicles and subcultures that you've been a part of. So, what time did you realize, or when did you realize you had ADHD of cars?
It probably started right around when I was 15, 16, that driving age, just barely getting into it. And my first car, 1991 Honda Civic, $500.
Love it.
My dad pulled some sort of deal to get that. Learned how to drive in that car. I didn't really do much except fix that car, thank God. Then came like a, I don't know, some 1995 Mazda Protege manual. That's where my love of manual kind of came from. I was like, oh, I really like this. Like, you get to figure out and do whatever. Yeah, you get some sense of control, right? And then I moved into something that's very JDM, very, very Fast and Furious, the Mitsubishi Eclipse GST. And that is actually where I started breaking a lot of things because I was driving very aggressively. And that is where I learned how to fix a lot of things.
Nice.
So Fast and Furious was definitely the root of it. That was a car inspiration, you know, the first, you know, that lime green with the little eagle livery across it.
Oh, yeah. That
yep. was, that signature, was signature. So. Yeah, all the way through Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift. That was the vibe.
That's fantastic.
Growing up.
Well, yeah, kind of a similar story. I had a '93 Eclipse base model.
Yeah,
80 horsepower. It looked cool though.
That's all that matters.
Oh no, that isn't all that matters. That car was such a dog. But I was so committed to like not spending very much money to make it faster, and you know, you can only do so much with a four banger that's you know, cranking out nothing. But that's awesome. That's a neat progression. Let's talk Fast and the Furious because I think it's funny. I actually watched it again recently to be like, man, was it that good? And then I watched it. I was like, oh, this still makes me like cars. Like, even
I think
now.
Probably the first three, there are some very cringy moments.
Oh, so
where
cringy.
Like you look back in retrospect and you're like, this is not as enjoyable as I really like.
Oh, the dialogue. And
yeah,
the
this is very like just like stiff and like. But then like the cars come in, right? And then it makes everything okay.
Oh well, the Eclipse especially. Yep. I remember him with his laptop.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Oh, let me do some calculations real quick as I'm driving.
Yep. You had some signature cars. You had the Eclipse. You had the Supra. You had the Charger that has
the Jetta.
As like yeah, exactly. The Jetta that didn't have any brakes. Have you seen that meme?
No.
So apparently when they're lining up for Race Wars, there's a side shot of the Jetta next to, I think it's Johnny Tran's S2000.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's 2000.
And that there's actually no brake calipers on the Jetta, and it's the front of the car. But, you know, props be proppin', I guess.
Ah, I guess they forgot to print out that part. Yeah. They pasted it on the side of it.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that I picked up over the years where when you watch the movie again, you're like, wait. Something isn't quite right about this scene.
Yeah. There's how about when they Uzi a car in the middle of the night and it's just like, oh, well, you know.
Chinatown, you know.
Chinatown. nobody goes there.
That's what happens in Chinatown, I guess.
No, but it was still, I think the culture was there.
Yeah.
Which I think is what everybody resonated with. That there's this giant community and they're all supporting each other, even though they all kind of hate each other at the same time.
Yeah, it's the love and hate relationship.
It is.
It's the brand war. It's the Ford versus Chevy. It's the... I don't know what else we got. Honda versus everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody likes VTEC.
Yeah, exactly. And then you had, I think there was an element of kind of race wars in there too.
Yes, the race wars is neat.
Just like, well, I mean, race wars as in like the Asians versus like the Caucasians, like.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, even in the 90s, it was still kind of...
A little polarizing,
it was.
Right? Like, yeah.
But even then, it was still coming together in the love of cars.
Yep.
And
one thing to unite us all.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and the tech. I think for me, it was like I never really considered how technical the cars were.
Yeah.
And then once I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot to this. A lot of engineering.
Yep.
A lot of, you know, science, which is neat. Is that the kind of side that got you interested, or was it more just the racing fast cars? And
racing fast cars, for sure. Like, the appeal of it was just like, oh, like, I want to be that guy that has the fastest car in high school, the one that knows the most about cars, the one that, you know, everyone can come to and say, oh, like, I really like this car. Like, can you help me fix it up? And I think that's where I ended up owning some, I think it's 30 some odd cars by now, between cars, motorcycles, trucks, whatever, is I really wanted to own everything. And then for somebody to come up to me and be like, hey, like, I know you own this car. What did you think of it? What were the pros? What were the cons? What had, like, what were your issues? And I would just, like, rattle them off, like, very casually, like, oh, this fuel pump has an issue, or, like, you know, this timing phaser, or, like, whatever, you know. Oh,
I love that. Yeah. Well, it's something you could be interested in and know a lot about and get results with,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And break sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Break is the main word there.
Yes.
I had a 2006 Z06
oh, nice.
Corvette. Like probably 2 weeks into owning it, two of the main bearings on the crankshaft actually spun together as one. Just basically stopped the entire rotating assembly. Just the car went kaput right there.
Grenade.
Me being the brilliant and financially literate person that I am, I spent about $15,000 building a motor for that car.
Nice.
Top to bottom, full everything. And then I just sold it right after because it's like, oh, like now it's two built. Now it's not fun to drive. Now
I think you take everything to the limit, right?
Yeah,
where you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've done all I can do with this.
Yep.
And so now I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, 30 cars. What's your favorite one?
I'm gonna have to go with my car right now. The Ford Raptor Gen
really?
2. Yeah.
Wow.
It has the most utility. It has a good amount of power. And I can just go rocketing through the desert at, like, I don't know, 60, 70 miles an hour.
That is
easily.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still super fast on the street, too.
Yep.
So.
Well, yeah.
Not as fast. But.
It's a truck
it's
still,
truck.
Right? But, yeah, it does all right.
That's not what I expected you to say.
Well, what were you expecting?
I don't know. You listed so many cars, I'm like.
Because after the Ford Raptor, it was definitely the Z06.
Okay.
I loved that Z06, and it was everything that I wanted a car to be. Except Chevy's interior is just...
Oh, really? Just the interior?
Not good. Like, it's just, like, very
feels
plasticky,
crummy.
Very, like, creaky. Like, you're like, putting your hand on the armrest, and it's just, like, making all sorts of noises. Yeah. But beside that, that car ripped. I loved that car.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, mine was the G... Actually, mine's my current car, too. I have a 3. And
okay.
So, yeah. And I... Actually, got me back into cars, which is what I was celebrating. Because I had my Eclipse, and I had a G35, and I had a... 08 WRX STI.
Okay.
I didn't like that one.
No.
No, I hated it. That was my least favorite car.
Okay.
And then G37. And but dealt with this car, I'm just like, I mean, it's fast. It's comfortable.
Yep.
It has a lot of tech.
You know,
quiet.
Yeah,
it crosses all the boxes.
Okay. So on that Subaru note, actually. So I grew up in Utah. I'm born and raised in Salt Lake City. Snow is something that comes and visits every year. So... I've actually had probably five or six WRX and STIs.
Oh, nice.
Just like buy one stock, put an exhaust, put a tune on it, sell it for profit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
And you were able to flip
flying.
Them. You were able to flip them so easily because it's in Utah. Every, you know, parent's trying to look for, you know, all-wheel drive car that's like safe, has a little bit of like cool factor. And then naturally that was the first pick, so... That was easy pickings for me.
I think that probably would make me like it more, but there was just the one I got. It was the first time they did the hatchback.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh wait,
and
yeah.
It just had a lot of roll, and I was like, I can't. I don't feel.
And then I think confident. The 08 was the narrow body, right? You had the narrow body STI.
I don't know.
And then the 2011, I think they went to a wide body.
Well, maybe it was an older one then. It was the hatchback, and it was the first model they did that was the new version.
Should be, yeah, it should be like
that
08, 09.
No, it
must have been
08. Yeah,
there. Yeah.
Because
they're
okay.
Cars.
Well, it was between that and like an Evo.
Oh.
And so. I should have gone with the Evo because I drove that too. I was like, oh,
the
my
Evo
gosh.
10 or the 8, 9?
I was used at the time. If it was 2008, it must have been like an 05.
Oh, okay.
Or,
Evo 9.
Yeah, something.
So I've actually had 3 Evos as well.
Have you?
That's
you just went all over the place.
Yeah, so all-wheel drive in Utah kind of went hand in hand. And between the 3 Evos, I had one that was a built motor stock turbo, a completely stock one, and then a 700 horsepower one that was a huge turbo built motor. It was a nightmare to drive on the street because it's like
trying to peel out.
It's just such a small like displacement, so like the drivability is like kind of bad when you're just putting along. But then once you get to like that 5500 RPM thing, puts you back in your seat, 40 pounds of boost, and you're just flying down the freeway. Next year, flying again, and it's like an easy way to get in trouble.
Download the CarParts.com app and accelerate convenience with access to over 850,000 auto parts at your fingertips. We make it easier to find the parts you need anytime, anywhere. Get it now on the Apple App Store and Google Play. J.C. Whitney is back. The original auto parts catalog, a garage staple and cultural cornerstone for over 100 years, is now a magazine. Whether you're a newcomer or a longtime gearhead, J.C. Whitney instills confidence by delivering expertly curated auto parts and a gateway to engaging community experiences, entertainment, resources, and inspiration. Learn more about the new J.C. Whitney at jcwhitney.com.
Yes. Yeah, no, that is a temptation.
I actually got pulled over one time because that 700 horsepower Evo ran on ethanol. And I got pulled over by a cop, and the cop goes, he came up super aggressive. He's like, oh, like, everybody keep your hands where I can see them. Like, don't be reaching anywhere. I was like, okay, like, relax. Like, and he's like, why? He walks up, he's like, why do I smell alcohol? And I was like, wait, alcohol? Like, none of us have been drinking. Like, we are all dead sober. Like, no issue there. And I was like, oh, it must be the ethanol. So I was like, officer, you're not going to believe this, but this car actually runs on ethanol. And he's like, what is that? And I was just like, corn fuel, I guess, is like the easiest way to describe it. And he was like, what?
Get out of the car.
And so he goes, okay, I'll be right back. And he takes my license, goes back. At the time, I had just bought the car, so no registration, no insurance, nothing. And he comes back, he's like, I have something more important to do, so just slow it down. And he throws me my license and he leaves.
I'm not dealing with this crap.
So, very lucky there. But that was like the most Fast and Furious vibes thing that I've ever had in my entire life. Just like being stopped by the cops. Cops didn't really know that much about cars. And then like, it was just like, yeah.
Hey, and you got out of the ticket.
Got out of the situation.
That's fantastic. Now, I had a friend in high school that had his dad's Porsche. And this was in the late 90s.
That's dangerous already.
Yeah, so we went to a water polo game. I think it was, must have been in Santa Margarita. I went to school in Anaheim. And so we were coming back. Or I wasn't in the car with this one, but he had five other kids in this Porsche.
Yep.
And he was going so fast that he actually passed three cops that just couldn't catch up to him until eventually they got him.
Oof.
And then, yeah, that was a lot of trouble. Oof. But his dad knew the mayor, so.
Oh, you know, lucky save there, huh? Very lucky save.
He had lots of those. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, whatever. Okay, fine, whatever. But, yeah, now it's that was the most Fast and the Furious, probably situation I even heard about. Live, so don't do that, kids. I'd say
go one to of my a one of my buddies actually very recently, probably 3-4 years ago, he did a YouTube channel where he was showing off his, I think it was a Challenger SRT.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got like some Mustang, he put a blower on it, and he was running around filming all these YouTube videos. The cops actually came after him legally, put him in jail for a little while, and then shut down his entire YouTube channel. Like, he had to take everything down, but everything was so well documented, like exactly how fast he was going, like where he was at the time of, like, he was blazing up and down the toll roads in OC.
Oh yeah.
So like, very easy to identify, very easy to, you know, get in trouble for. So he is no longer into cars anymore.
Yeah,
privilege got taken away.
Yeah, that'll do it, getting put in jail.
Yeah.
They'll solve the need for a little bit at least. They'll probably be back. Just do it on a racetrack.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, so I definitely advocate for racetracks. I don't know if you've been to any track days.
No.
No? Okay.
Well, I haven't driven.
Not on the Eclipse days?
Never? No. I was underground. I was, was I? San Bernardino.
okay. No, but definitely for racetracks, I've done, track days, motorcycles and cars. Very much so fun, and very much so worth the, I don't know, it's probably like $180 to get in now at like Button Willow or Willow Springs or Chuck Wallet. Like, very, very worth it, very fun, and just very much so safer
to have
paramedics.
Yeah, well, you don't have to, you still get the adrenaline rush, because I think that's really what you're after, or what I found that I was after. Was
Actually, a couple of years ago, I think they did Race Wars in San Bernardino.
Did they?
I think so.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So, like, they lined everyone up. They had, like, they tried to basically recreate Fast and Furious, where there was, like, a concert aspect where, like, people were like, partying, people were racing hot cars. Yeah. Basically. Okay, so, hot Important Nights for sure. Like, that was the vibe that they were trying to recreate.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. I mean, it's nostalgic. It has, you know, kind of Burning Man vibes in it, too, which is fun, and you don't have to go that far. Yeah. That was the funniest part of that movie was, like, oh, they're at an old Air Force base that apparently nobody goes to.
I think that air base is actually very close, isn't
it? Yes, it's like Ontario or something. Like, it's like down the street. Yeah. There's lots of people there.
Yeah.
So, but we used to go, my dad used to take us to the Pomona racetrack, and so we'd see the drag racing, and you know, that was fun. Yeah, that was actually before
NHRA this last weekend there,
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I got to go again. My uncle's still super into it. I actually sent a video from me at SEMA because I was like, hey, check out this drifting that you haven't watched because there's smoke in the way.
Have you been in a drift car yet?
No, not really.
Oh, it's very fun.
It looks fun.
You have to trust the driver, and you have to hopefully know the driver at least, so you can kind of get a sense of like how dangerous they are.
Yes.
But it is very fun being thrown side to side in the car.
Yeah, and until you know how to do it, you probably don't even know that person's screwing up left and right. He's a perfect.
It's good enough for me, right? You're just getting thrown sideways.
There you go. So, you know, I think that's an awesome backstory. But with all that said, what is your favorite subculture that you've been kind of involved in? Just in general. Doesn't have to be your current one.
Can I get some examples?
Well, you got overlanding, you talked about drifting, street racing, JDM.
I'm going to go between desert racing, like fast-paced desert racing.
Like rally?
No, trucks.
Trucks.
Like King of the Hammers type, like where they're mobbing through the desert at like 110, 120. Nice. They stop, they crawl some rocks real quick, and they're back to doing 110, 120.
That's pretty cool. That's
awesome. It's between that and then the motorcycles, for sure.
The motorcycle.
The cost benefit of being on a motorcycle is just, you can't win otherwise. No.
Well, and for the speed that you get out of it, you're basically
but
like a hyper.
But also, very dangerous, everyone. Very, very dangerous.
Be safe.
Yeah. Wear all the gear. Be very wary of all the people that are driving around you. Yeah. It is very dangerous, but it is so fun.
It is. I think I rode in, when I lived in downtown LA, I had the 650, SV 650.
Uh-huh.
And so I was splitting lanes then, but then we got pregnant, right? My wife and I, and then I was like,
you're not allowed
to do that anymore. But now I'm older and the kids are getting a little older. I'm like, I think it'd be fine.
Back on the bike you go.
Back on the bike. I'm thinking about electric bike now, but now I'm like, the electric bikes are like $30,000 or $20,000. Yeah. They're like,
have you ridden one?
No.
Oh, okay. I will say the best electric motorcycle that I've ridden so far has definitely been the Harley Livewire.
Really?
Which is very surprising.
That is surprising.
But it is such a good bike. If it wasn't the range just being like 110, 120 miles, it would be an excellent motorcycle.
That's awesome. So is it the weight ratio or like, is it just feel solid?
The feel just feels exactly like an internal combustion engine feels like, but all you do, there's no clutch, there's no shift.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to shift.
So you're just hard on the throttle and then brakes. Like, that's it.
That's pretty cool.
But then, you know, it's a motorcycle, right? So you can hit a corner, balance is good, you can throttle it out, and you just take off out of the corner, so you can do corners, too.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking to do, because I'm, you know, seems like you'd be able to concentrate more, and then it's safer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, makes sense to me.
Yeah, so definitely between those two. Those have my heart, at least right now.
Okay, so how about favorite car?
Ooh, that's too hard.
I know
hard.
You said the F1. You know,
that's
you said
too
the
hard
F1.
Of a, yeah, that's too hard of a
How about favorite question. Next car? How about you have
so the favorite
50,000.
15K?
No, 50.
50?
And that's for getting the car and doing whatever upgrade you want. Which car would be?
That's my current situation.
Oh, okay.
I bought the Raptor for like 48. And then I put in, $2,000 worth of, like, just little bits of suspension. And
so you're living the dream.
Yep, living the dream.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But I want the new one.
Oh, the new one.
New one, but that's $100,000. So it's a little bit of
a
price jump.
Yeah, you get used.
Yeah, for sure. But, less people are now asking, like, favorite car. It's now the two-car solution.
That makes sense.
Your daily
driver and then your project.
So, ideally, one's Ford Raptor, of course, utility, right? And then the other one is a 992 Turbo S.
Oh.
Yeah. 700 horsepower, all-wheel drive in a Porsche, very luxurious. You can cruise it around town, but then if somebody tries to challenge you, you just womp them.
I love that.
Yep.
Well, it's shockingly affordable in terms of like fast cars. Is the Porsche is slightly better? No,
no. The Turbo S. I think that right now 992s are right about 275. So I wouldn't say that's affordable, but like
I'm thinking of older Porsches maybe.
Yeah.
275, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you know, we were talking earlier about like, you know, 100,000 used to be a lot of money for a car and now it's like
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. You have to buy a pickup truck for $100,000.
Yes, that's what you get. You get a pickup truck or, you know, whatever. But hopefully it'll come down soon. We'll see. Well, thanks a lot, Richard. This has been a ton of fun. Do you put your cars on a website or somewhere where people can see them?
All I really put them on is Instagram. That's
Instagram.
It.
Oh, okay, there you go. What's your Instagram?
Instagram handle is at RJIANG _.
Perfect. All right. Everybody check that out. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a ton of fun. Got to talk about Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Million different vehicles. I'd say that's a successful episode. You agree. I gotta like that. All right, everyone. That's it for this episode. Tune in next time. We'll probably be mentioning Fast and the Furious at some time again in the near future. So don't miss it. Cool. Oh, that was great.